Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know. Awesome. Welcome back, everyone, to Law Shit You Should Know with your host, Elena Centeno.
And Leslie Marenko.
And today, we have the amazing Daniel Izquierdo with us. Hi,
Daniel. Wow, super hey, guys. Like Daniel Izquierdo.
I know, right? I can say that.
Thank you for having me, guys.
So, Danny, tell everybody who's listening what you do.
Okay. I'm Danny Izquierdo. I'm the CEO and founder of Izquierdo Law Firm. We're a law firm in Coral Gables, Miami, Florida, specializing in handling criminal defense matters for our clients. So that's a fancy way of saying if the cops knock on your door, if you find yourself being arrested, we're the firm you should call.
Love it. I love that. And Danny's done a great job for a ton of our clients, so thank you, Danny.
You're very welcome.
So today we're going to talk some current events, and we're going to talk about things people should know and stupid things that people do, and you're going to tell them how to avoid some of the stupid things that they do.
How to not make it worse, maybe?
Well, okay, so stupid things.
Tell us.
Stupid things people allegedly do.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's start there.
I'm writing that down.
Allegedly.
I will use the right terminology. Thank you. All right, cool. So, what do you want to start with? What do you want to talk about?
I have a question.
Yes, go.
So what are like the penalties for driving without a license?
Oh, God.
Really, Leslie.
Just kidding. Allegedly.
Okay. Moving on. Definitely not the sexiest topic. driving without a license is
that's allowed in Miami-Dade County.
You would think, but most commonly it's a low-level misdemeanor. If the person is a habitual offender,
what?
Then they could be charged with a felony, which typically carries a maximum of 5 years in prison.
You're fucking kidding.
I'm not.
No, that cannot be.
Yes.
But you have to be a habitual offender, so not like
that
a one-time
thing. That means I'm caught
twice.
No,
allegedly.
It's more than twice, Leslie. You should be okay.
Okay.
For now. Well, but we are talking about driving, so let's talk about DUIs, one of my favorite topics. So everyone wants to know, do you blow?
Okay. So that's a little
tell
bit
me.
Of a loaded question. But
typically,
you are better off not blowing.
Okay.
Okay. The reason you're better off not blowing is because if you blow, now you're giving the cops and the prosecutor evidence to use against you, right? And the mistake most people make is they go out for happy hour, they go out to dinner, they have a few drinks. Typically, your judgment is the first thing that goes when you're drinking. So somebody can think that they're fine. The reality is the amount of alcohol that they've consumed is gonna produce a result on the breathalyzer that's over the limit. So as a rule of thumb, you're almost always better off not blowing because you don't want to give them evidence to use against you.
I mean, unless
you're
not actually drunk, right?
Right. If you've had nothing to drink at all, and you're truly a DD,
what is it?
You're a designated driver.
Oh,
okay. For those of us,
that's a Lena.
For those of us that go out.
Clearly, I've never been one of these DDs.
Yes. If you've had zero to drink, no harm, no foul, you're probably okay doing a breath test. Usually, if you insist or you think maybe I should blow, because the cops will kind of trick you into, well, if you blow, your license won't get suspended. Mm. What they don't tell you is that if you blow over, your license also gets suspended. So don't go by how you feel. If you insist on blowing, which I don't recommend, go by how many drinks you've had. Because a lot of people, when they're six deep, think they feel fine.
Six deep.
But that breathalyzer is going to be sky high.
Well, but six deep over the period of what? You know, several hours.
He's like, I'm
not a chemist.
Don't do it.
In the lab. Okay, so what's the legal limit?
The legal limit in Florida is 0.08.
And how many drinks, give or take?
Give or take, you're looking at two to three drinks in about an hour and a half.
For most people.
We'll have you around that 0.08.
Three drinks in an hour is two drinks.
Play it safe, two will get you right around that level.
Got it.
But two drinks per hour?
Yes.
So, like, you could have six drinks in 3 hours and you're good to go.
I don't think the liver works that
way.
It did not clarify.
No, I don't think absorption works that way, no. No.
Okay. All right.
So, it kind of, I think it has a compounding effect.
Yes. Yes.
To
yes.
an extent.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All right. So no more than two drinks. And even then, you're...
And even then, because here's the other one. I'm going to geek out a little bit on the DUI thing.
Okay. No, tell us.
Your mouth alcohol. So if you've had any dental work, that's like fillings and whatnot, could retain alcohol.
Ooh.
The breathalyzer.
Later.
Potentially.
I like that. Yes. I like that.
So dental work is a potential defense because it could hold alcohol. Mouth alcohol could give you an elevated reading, right? Because the breathalyzer is supposed to be getting deep lung air, right?
Okay.
That's why they tell you deep breath, blow hard for an extended period of time so that it's more reliable. But the reality is whatever's in your mouth, whatever, you know, alcohol, vapors, chemicals, could also go into that machine and cause a higher than what is accurate. A higher reading than is actually accurate. I went to a training, a CLE once, where they had a breathalyzer there. They were talking about the science and the maintenance and kind of how it works. And actually, the person that was giving that talk blew into a breathalyzer and blew zeros. And then from the stage, grabbed a beer, you know, chugged it, and then blew into the machine. And now all of a sudden had a ridiculously high reading just from mouth alcohol. The reality is that still should have been zero or close to zero because that alcohol had not been metabolized in his system. It wasn't pulling deep lung
and
air.
It's not
it was
impairing
just,
him.
Right. It was kind of picking up whatever.
So far I've learned you rinse your mouth before you leave the bar. Okay.
Well, and one other thing, the guy on the stage has a great defense because there was no 20-minute observation period before the breath test.
What is a 20-minute observation test?
It's really not an exciting topic, but...
What is exciting to be?
they got to watch you for 20 minutes?
They do. So once you're arrested, you're taken to a station or a mobile breath testing unit comes. They're supposed to watch you for 20 minutes to make sure that you don't put anything in your mouth. You don't have anything in your mouth like gum or a penny, or you're not, you know, throwing up.
Like,
you're not
gum in your mouth actually works.
No, there's like an urban legend that if you put a penny under your tongue,
does this work?
So the 20-minute observation is to make sure you're not like throwing up in your mouth, you're not chewing gum, you're not putting paper in your mouth. It's supposed to make the very unreliable test that much more reliable, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, is that always supposed to happen? This isn't like you get pulled over, you look a little whatever, they go, oh, yeah, blow on this.
No. See, that's a myth.
No?
No, that's a big myth.
Wow. But what about the stops they have where they
the checkpoints?
Yeah, the checkpoints.
Okay, so you mean the highly randomized checkpoints
that happen on the way from South Beach back to the city?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So to pass constitutional muster, those checkpoints, right, they're supposed to They direct traffic into a little gate.
Right.
Like a corral almost. Right. And it's 10, get checked. 10, get let go. 10, get checked.
So, interesting. So it's not like.
So there's the random.
It's not like sports car, SUV this way.
No, right. It's the most recent case I had, which was actually one of our mutual clients, will remain nameless, on 57th and 8th Street, there was a checkpoint. It was a big task force.
Going what direction?
The city, I think heading east on 57th and
8th. Into the city? Why?
Yeah. So, that's kind of how they did it, right?
Okay.
They're at the light, flag 10 cars, put them in the corral. Those get checked for driver's licenses, signs of impairment, whatever. The 10 cars behind will proceed through the intersection.
Interesting.
Right? Barring they don't
crash
that's
into interesting.
A
so when there's a checkpoint, you have a 50-50 of being checked, actually being checked. I didn't know that. I thought they stopped everybody. That's interesting.
Right, because then some idiot defense attorney will go to court saying that the person, was stopped based on pretext and profile.
Yeah,
and
driving while brown.
They have to kind of randomize it a little bit.
Yeah,
so what you said about hey, you look a little weird, you want to take this breathalyzer?
Yeah.
Well, so
you look like a drunk.
Yeah. So that's kind of that's a little bit of a misconception because you'll first get pulled over, hopefully for a legally justified reason, right? Once you're pulled over, the officer is going to make some kind of observations, right?
Uh-huh.
Based on your driving pattern, then they're going to make contact with you, and then they're going to see watery bloodshot eyes. slurred speech, and an odor of alcohol. 97%
and
of all arrests.
And they always write those things down.
97% of the time, right? That's
sure.
known as the Holy Trilogy of
DUI. Sure, that always end up in the report, yes.
Correct,
sure.
Right? So once they see that, now there's reasonable suspicion that the person is DUI, they now have probable cause, like, hey, we fear you might be an impaired driver. Please step out of your car. Now you want to talk about odds, 50% chance that person is unsteady on their feet. That also goes into the report. And then they will ask you to perform field sobriety exercises.
That's what I want to talk about. So
yeah.
they don't always have to make you to blow.
So the blow question comes after you've already been arrested.
Oh,
so
you have to be in custody.
They can't like lean over like blow here.
Unless
you actually have to go through this whole process.
Right,
first.
In Florida,
understood.
In Florida, juveniles have like a 0.020 tolerance, so they get the quick trigger.
Only juveniles.
Right, but so for all of us, you know,
old
adults,
people,
responsible adults,
right? So,
old people.
So they're asking you, hey, get out of the car. We want you to do this. These goofy.
What if you're a girl in ridiculous heels and shit? I'm
there's
not
another.
Out of the
moment
it. Okay.
The moment she gets out of the car, she's
drunk.
Tripping. Whether she's drunk
I was gonna say, like, I'm gonna give you some serious attitude.
Well, okay. So if this happens, you better hope they ask you to take your shoes off. Otherwise, we would use that as a defense.
So I wipe them on.
Barefoot
on
the street.
Yo no soy paca sucia. I don't even take them off to go to the metal detector on court. I get mad when the guard makes me take them off at the courthouse. Like,
oh, debatable. But anyways,
walk
yeah.
Okay, I already
so
see a few defenses here.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
So you're
so
kind of auditioning.
Yeah.
So you're auditioning for your freedom by doing this.
I like that.
By doing this goofy set of exercises, which the most reliable one is like.
Walk.
67-70% reliable, which is to follow the pen with the eyes.
Oh,
like a
in a perfectly controlled clinical setting.
I'm like follow the pen with the eyes.
I don't think the sight of the palmetto qualifies.
Like, right. You can't move your head. Can't move your head.
Oh my!
You can't move your head.
No, you can't.
It's your eyes.
Really?
Yeah, that same person that gets out of the car and is unsteady on their feet.
I have vertigo.
And then stand perfectly still.
It is.
It's
voodoo
science.
Voodoo science.
So now you do these goofy tests, you get arrested. Then you go to the station.
I like
that.
You're getting arrested. Yeah. Second, hold up,
then you go to the
station.
Wait,
I want to come back to the goofy test.
And
so
that's where
it's
it comes.
The steadiness, it's the pen one, and then
so,
what else? The touchy nose.
So there, right. Like so there's five that they tend to use. There's three that come from the NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration manual, as being more reliable. That's
reliable.
Horizontal gaze nystagmus, which is a fancy way of saying follow the pen with your eyes.
Okay.
There's the walk and turn, that's walk the line, right? Nine heel to toe steps in this direction, take a little stupid
nine?
Turn, and nine back.
That's really hard.
And then nine back.
I'm serious.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
There's more.
The hardest part of that walk and turn is not necessarily
the walking.
You have to stand in the instructional position for God knows how long.
I'm
which
going
is
to
which
I'm
is
going to jump, guys. Yeah.
So,
let me just
Marengo,
be clear.
So look, so one foot on the line, the other foot in front, heel touching toe with your arms at your sides, at attention while they're giving you the instructions. So you haven't even started and you're like, it's awful. And then you do the walk and then the one leg stand. Right?
Okay. No,
so then there's two others that they don't use as much anymore. That's the finger to nose one.
Okay.
And then this modified Romberg balance, which is, you know, eyes closed,
those
head
are the
back,
easy
and
ones.
You estimate like 30 seconds. But
those sound like the ones that are easy.
So here's the thing. So everybody wants to know, should you do a breathalyzer or not? Right?
Well, we've learned the answer is no.
Yeah. Once you get to the breathalyzer,
unless you really have never had
training. Yeah. Once you get to the breathalyzer, you're already
under arrest. You're already fucked already.
They're not gonna unarrest you.
They have a report this big about you can't fucking walk, bitch. You can't. I mean, you glassy eye. What was it, Trinity?
Like, glassy.
But loco, I'm done.
Slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, odor of alcohol.
Speech.
Well, that's funny. How do we keep the report
aggressive,
short, sweet, and to
you
the point?
You refuse to do any of this bullshit.
Bingo.
Points for being indignant about everything in life.
Right, because
well, I would definitely refuse to take my shoes off. I'm telling you, I have fights with the security guards at the courthouse because I refuse to take my shoes. I'm like, no, bitch, get the wand and wand me, but I ain't fucking walking through the disgusting courthouse floor with no shoes on. I refuse. I absolutely refuse.
Let's be honest. They came to the side of the car. They made these observations. They're asking you to do the exercises.
They already think you're drunk.
They already know you're going to jail. They know they're imagine. Arresting you. Yeah. They're just trying to get more evidence to support the case.
Right. What about a blood test? Can you ask for blood tests?
You could ask for an independent blood test.
I've heard this. Don't look at me with that. Yes, I've heard you this. Could. I've heard this.
So like the hack, the biohack, so to speak, right, is you refuse the FSCs. You're going to jail anyways. You go for the ride. You get to the station. Here's this breath of life. No, I don't want to do it. But I'm requesting an independent blood test.
Right. And then it takes them another 2 hours.
At your own expense.
right.
But here's a phone book. Figure it out. At 3 a.m, you're calling. Hey, can somebody
oh,
come
you're
give me
coordinating your own blood
yeah,
test.
It's at your own expense, right? Historically.
Yeah,
so,
by the time you actually get someone down there, what if you call up your primo,
amigo,
to come with the fucking thing? I mean,
most of the time, they're not going to like humor you with that. Oh, just double refuse. Like you said, if they're asking you out of the car, they're asking you to do the exercises, you're probably being arrested already. Why give them anything? Just say,
call my lawyer. Yes. To go to jail. Like, that's right. It. I got to spend the night in jail. It is what it is.
It's very subjective, right? And in some of those, they're looking for 6 clues, 9 clues. You can do 7 of the things well.
Right. They still have a report this big. Say, oh, shit, you fucked up.
Is not to standard.
Right.
So find me a test where you can perform at 75-80% and it's considered a fail.
Especially at like 3 o'clock in the morning, even if you are half sober.
I
can't be following no pens around. Like, my world will start spinning after I've been stuck in a line at a checkpoint for 30 minutes. Yeah. Like, I'm annoyed as fuck already.
Drowsy
like,
driving's not drunk driving.
Exactly. I like that. I'm going to get a t-shirt.
There you go.
I drowsy drunk all the time, so that's real. I'm bad. Jonathan used to be very afraid of me because I'd like fall asleep at red lights. Like, it was bad. Not anymore. I have worked on my sleep cycle.
We have an aura
I have
now.
An aura now. We have an aura right now. That tells us. Not anymore. Awesome topic, Danny. Wait, so I want to come back to the blood test. But is this true in every state? Do you know?
Wait, what was the biohazard?
Requesting an independent blood test.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I thought that you were going to tell me to go drink 5 gallons of water.
Because what I've heard, and again, I'm not a criminal defense, but what I've heard is if you can actually get someone down there, by the time they get down there, by the time they take your blood, you now have evidence that you're not drunk, even though it's been like 12 hours.
Don't they have somebody on the other side saying, yeah, right now it's point whatever, but 12 hours ago it would have been this because your liver has done X.
Yeah, they could retrograde, like they can extrapolate. But we use that defense a lot too in breath cases that we actually try, because who cares what the breath alcohol content at the station was 45 an hour, 2 hours after. All that matters is the BAC at the time of driving.
Right.
So assuming the person looks okay on the video, right? You kind of need the other facts in your favor.
Oh, fuck, I forgot
it was a video. Yeah. Because, like, listen.
And you know you look at your best at 3 a.m.
As long as you don't look
super happy about
too impaired, you're fine, right? But because if you're falling out of the car, you have vomit all over yourself, like it's going to be hard to argue, well, that was 2 hours after at the time of driving.
Maybe have someone else's vomit on you.
Yeah, maybe.
I had a client.
Real story.
Not even high. I had a client.
Could be someone else's vomit.
Real story. Who's a bartender? So he smelled like alcohol everywhere he went. I'm sure. Covered in alcohol after working behind a bar.
Yes, you do.
Gets pulled over, goes through all this fucking shit, and he had a great reason to vomit on.
Well, but I'm like, sure. This is true. But see, and here's what happens on these reports. This person's working.
Right.
In theory, probably hasn't drank anything, if much.
Right.
Going home at 3, 4 a.m.
And this happens all the time.
Looking like shit, smelling like a bottle of vodka, you know?
Well, this is what happens. Somebody's in the car, they get pulled over, they have passengers. Oh, I smelled an odor of alcohol upon approaching the driver. Common sense will tell you, well, it wasn't him, it was the passengers. Then they'll pull them out of the car, and then they'll make sure to write, and I smelled an unknown odor of an alcoholic beverage coming from his facial region while talking to him outside of the car. So to almost to like preempt
the defense. It wasn't me, it was them. Right. Yes. This is all very well rehearsed.
You know how to write briefs, right?
Of course.
You're a lawyer.
And cops know how to write them too.
They know how to write reports.
Cops know how to write them too.
What about, so South Florida, we have a lot of waterways, right? Not just mm-hmm. cars. Do you deal with any DUIs on boats?
It's
I feel like people don't think about that. And there's always drunk bitches on boats.
So
in Miami. Everybody's drunk on a boat.
But they're usually not.
We own a
boat.
You know that song?
Yes, of course.
Wait, the fucking designated driver on the fucking boat?
No, not
yes.
at all. Not at all.
Of course not.
So it works very similarly to a DUI on the road.
Okay,
it's the same.
Okay, who's the enforcing?
So it could be Fish and Wildlife,
right?
Which, if you're gonna get arrested,
Fish and Wildlife? Look at Fish and Wildlife.
You don't fuck with Fish and Wildlife.
Oh my god!
You know,
the protector of the birds and the iguanas,
yes.
Like yeah,
and the fish
and the undersized fish,
yeah. The waterways, yeah, the straight fucking
fish. Fish and Wildlife fucking up, like they're messed
yeah.
up. Yeah, you don't know.
Oh,
so all right, so Fish and Wildlife, or like the county has units
yeah.
out on the water,
yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing, right? You're driving or in actual physical control of a
vehicle,
a vessel, right?
Okay.
And under the influence of alcohol or chemical controlled substances to the extent that your normal faculties are impaired, it's the same.
Wow.
Thing. Yeah, the jury instructions. Yeah. it's kind of the same thing. The only wild card here is. You're unsteady on your feet when the boat's kind
when
of...
No,
that's
doing
what
it's
doing.
And
that's why I brought it up, because in my head I'm thinking none of these field sobriety exams are going to go
they
well.
Actually
on
have,
like,
they actually have a seated battery of tests.
Oh.
So, like, they'll sit the person down, and then they have to do these goofy things, like, with their hands and different things. Yeah, it's weird. Believe it or not, as unreliable
like
as the roadsides are, they're probably better than the boat ones.
I was about to
yeah.
say. So... I mean, give or take, what percentage of people actually get convicted when they present a defense to
the thing is, the boating...
Because, listen,
under,
I get it. It's, let's be serious, right? Let's be serious. I'm going to try to be serious.
Boating under the influence is a lot less common than driving under the influence.
Because the wildlife
getting arrested for it is
yes.
less common.
Yes. Let me clarify.
But I cannot imagine in Miami
right.
that is
yes.
true.
Let's
because
clarify.
In the world of Uber, I think a lot of people have learned to just call an Uber.
But in the world of boating, everybody's fucked up on, like, Ellie and Key drinking beers. And somebody's
yeah.
driving back. Okay? But anyways, coming back to being serious. I
remember,
get
there's
like,
less traffic and there's fewer barriers to run into.
Yeah, that's
on
true.
The water, too.
That's true.
So, less probable cause is formed on the commute home.
Yeah. I guess that's true. But realistically, so DUIs are a serious thing, right? People shouldn't be
yes.
out, you know, driving drunk. Obviously, this endangers the public, etc. However, on the other side of this, it's just so rehearsed. I mean, the police side of it is so rehearsed and seems so easy to just,
mm-hmm.
like, get it wrong, frankly. Like,
so,
it does seem very easy to get wrong.
So I'll give you a quick war story.
Sure.
In May, we tried a case up in Broward.
Okay.
Ooh.
Where,
I've heard not to get caught there.
Without a license.
Allegedly.
The juries, believe it or not, the juries are really, really good. The juries are very fair. So we have a DUI case in Broward. We had to go to trial back in May. In that case... Our client, it's a little bit complicated, but he gets into like a little fender bender. He actually ends up blowing zeros, but having marijuana
well, that was
in
my next
his
question.
System.
You're
oh,
taking
wow.
me where I was going.
So,
interesting,
but,
I never
but
thought of that.
So,
like you're
yeah,
not
because driving under the influence doesn't necessarily mean alcohol.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So here's like
but
you were
you,
saying,
if
it's
you're
all
high, you drive slower, right? Don't you drive
yeah.
like Silly more carefully?
But, so here's what you were saying that it's so rehearsed.
Allegedly.
So the cop gets on the scene, he observes our client.
Okay.
And there's a little fender bender, so he's trying to investigate the accident part. Our client walks up, trying to talk to him. And he goes, go back to your car, and I'll come to you now. And the other driver kind of makes a face at the cop, and the cop looks at him, just serious as can be, he's drunk as hell. The cop says that on the body cam.
Oh.
And then he goes and does all the field sobriety exercises, which are for alcohol impairment.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I observed this clue and this clue and this clue and this, the eye test.
Yeah.
Those are, that involuntary, like, jerking is only caused by alcohol. So he's building that report.
Okay.
Making it seem like our client was under the influence of alcohol. And then he goes to a station, he gives a breath sample, and it's zeros. So what happens? Every time they get it wrong, well, no, you're on something. I can't possibly be wrong.
I can't be wrong.
Then they call this DRE, this drug recognition evaluator, who's like a quasi-expert, to then do the same test.
To see what kind of high you are.
To do the same, right, to do the same test.
Are you coke high? Are you mushrooms? Like, what are you doing?
Are you shroom high? Right. Now that we know you're not boozing, let me see what I see and then tie it to a narcotic.
Oh.
Right, and then he gave urine.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Just because you have marijuana in your urine doesn't mean that you're impaired by marijuana.
Yeah.
Right, it stays in your system for 30 days.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Does it really?
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, you want to talk about this is rehearsed, this is like pre-packaged and canned?
It can't be more obvious by all what you wrote before.
Listen,
that was alcohol related.
But wait, you said they gave urine. Can't you refuse to give urine?
You can.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, why would they give urine?
Because they were stupid. It didn't call you scared of.
But there wasn't like a strategic reason.
No, he just did it.
So, number one, don't blow. Number two, don't pee. None of this.
And they can only get blood if there's serious bodily injury or death.
Mm.
Other than that, you can probably refuse that too.
The eye thing is that your eye starts twitching or something?
So,
I thought it was you couldn't follow it.
No. So, if our eyes get all the way over here, right?
Yeah.
They're going to twitch because
they're
stressed.
Here I am, like, trying to do one thing.
So what that test is looking for is an involuntary jerking
prior
to maximum deviation, right? Prior to 45 degrees, which...
I feel like I am jerking, though.
Well, no, actually, I want to say about 5 to 10% of the population has natural nystagmus.
I was about to say.
And there's about
30
other reasons.
I feel like I don't have a smooth, like...
Yeah, no, you definitely, I'm not seeing.
He's like, no, you definitely look fucked up, Elena.
No, I'm serious.
You're going to jail.
I definitely, the designated driver
in the fucking rehab.
I'm always the designated driver.
Every house.
The only one that thinks ahead of me. I can't get arrested.
With
a license.
There's like 30 things that cause nystagmus, by the way.
Is that the technical name for this?
No, I'm worried.
Horizontal-based nystagmus. No, but if you drink too much caffeine, you can have nystagmus. If you're tired.
My Facebook is evidence of how much caffeine I drink.
I'm perpetually tired, so that makes sense.
So that was a really fun case to try.
Yes.
What happened?
Not guilty.
Excellent!
Justice
prevails.
Well, it was a fun case to try because you kind of got to build up all this alcohol stuff.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Through Cross. Like, it was a lot of fun. Like, hey, you did this test, and that test is for alcohol, right? Yeah, it was. And you found all these clues. Yeah, you did. Yeah, and then you build it up, and you tested for alcohol. Yeah. And what did the test say? Goose eggs. Right? So it was a fun trial.
No, that's really entertaining.
It is.
I like that. That's cool. Good job, Annie. Well, you brought us to drugs. Let's talk drugs, right? Because,
okay.
Number one, any new desire drugs we need to learn about that are out there?
Enlighten us.
K2.
What are people getting arrested for?
Okay.
So this K2 thing, not even sure what it is. It's something that
we're out of touch with
the jails. So actually, the jails and the prisons have seen like a massive influx of this stuff coming in, to the point that it's making our lives a lot more difficult. Like
because people are getting caught with it.
It's being smuggled in on papers that are like hidden as legal mail. So because legal mail is sacred, right? The attorney-client privilege and all that stuff. So if you send a letter to your relative in prison, corrections or the guards can open it, they can look at it, they can inspect it, and then they give it to them like in an open envelope. When they get legal mail, however, that's private for the individual and the attorney, it's privileged.
Us too. And we put, attorney client mail,
legal mail
really
so
big
they'll,
on
what
the outside
they do
of the envelope so you can open my letters to my client.
They
yeah.
still open it.
Well, they're in detention.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so they
I'm talking about detention.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm like,
they,
whoa, whoa.
They open it in front of them.
Right, right.
Oh.
And then they would just give it to
them.
They
don't read it. They don't. They just search the envelope, but that's about it.
So what, there's little baggies of K2?
No. Like the actual paper.
No, laced with it. What?
Yes. So somebody.
So you gotta lick it.
No. No, they smoke it. They do all sorts of things. People are dying from it. Like, it's horrible.
I'm teasing her.
Yeah. So somebody will basically put an envelope and put legal mail and send it. But it's really papers just laced with drugs that either get smoked.
We're back in the 70s, like dropping acid. You put the paper on your tongue.
I mean, but is this how it's sold on the street?
No, this is how they're smuggling
it. Right. And so it's made it more difficult for us. Now, legal like attorneys. Right. So now legal mail is being opened in front of the defendant.
Oh, they're on to you.
It's being photo. It's being photocopied.
That's the
originals
that's
are being shredded. And then the copies are given to the client.
I thought there was now, like, you know, in the airport where they take that little wipe and, like...
Oh, no, no, it's not that funny. Okay. No.
Yeah, to see if this whole thing is caked too, like...
No, 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 they're copying and giving them the copies,
don't even get
shredding
the paper.
Your originals.
But how can we be sure they're not reading our shit if they're copying it and everything else?
That's where I see the issue, yeah.
I mean, it's up to our clients.
And for us, like, we have original documents we send. That's interesting.
Immigration detention might be different.
It is, I'm sure,
right?
If it exists in county, it exists eventually in immigration detention.
Well, and like immigration detention is more country club like in some
ways. Country
club,
different episode. Yeah. There's levels. I'll just say
there's levels
of detention centers. There's levels of offenders too, alleged offenders.
No, some might be convicted by that.
I mean, at least the criminal matters, yes. But there's a lot of immigration offenders that never have a criminal component to it that are still detained. But there are levels, right? Yes, some of the entry level, like all you've committed is an immigration crime, like you enter unlawfully or you overstayed. Those generally
or
you re-enter. Those are often in, I wouldn't call it a country club, but more country club-ish prison, right?
Okay,
like
so
open space
more
in the middle. Less prison-like for those
okay.
people, right? I mean, they have like the open grottos with the rooms around you have free
okay.
like coming in and out.
Oh, so it's it sounds like the equivalent of a federal prison camp.
Correct. Yes.
No,
they're like camps. That's
yeah.
correct. They're like camps.
Yeah.
Camps, correct.
Yeah. There's no fence. There's
correct.
No bars.
Correct.
There's freedom of movement as long as you make
curfew. There's freedom of movement inside
yeah.
of a certain area.
Oh, you're...
And then there's outside hallways that are where guards are, and you can't get past those, and then so on and so forth.
Or you'll be out of bounds.
Right. That's
but
what.
There's no. You're not behind the fence.
Yeah, that's correct. That's not all of them.
Oh,
though.
This
now,
is like the joke of Club Fed. That's what they're talking about. Camps.
The federal prison camps.
Yeah.
yeah.
But that's not true for most of the people who have a
look. I mean, Chrome, look,
or,
I've been to Chrome, right?
Yeah,
Chrome is very nice for a detention center, but
yeah.
I like yeah.
I hear they have.
I wouldn't go there like voluntarily.
Yeah, yeah, all my detainees tell me that the food at Chrome is the best food of all the detention centers in Florida.
Okay.
Apparently, they have Cuban chefs.
I know.
And
arroz con pollo.
This is not a reason to get yourself detained,
no.
obviously.
No, and look, and our clients rank the county jails too,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
Yes.
But if you go to Chrome is actually less country club ish in that they actually have like the closed cells
mm-hmm.
and the unlocked doors.
Right.
It's a little more, you know, prison like than the country club kind of
got
feel.
It.
Of
got
like,
it. Yeah, my immigration.
I learned so
detention
much on
experience
this
is limited to Chrome.
Yeah. And no, and
so.
We actually there are some immigration detention centers that share space with criminal facilities. So they're
right.
like 50-50. So they're
yeah,
subject
they're like,
to all the like.
Subcontracted
hardcore, yeah.
martial housing,
and those
yeah.
are much. Those are the worst ones because they are generally.
Is it like Moorhaven?
Yeah, up
one
north,
of those.
A couple up
yeah.
north. Yeah, the further north you get, the less immigrants there are, like per capita
right.
in Florida, and so they actually share more space as opposed to down here where we have our own facilities. We have more than enough people to fill the facilities, but up north that's not really the case. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, we digress. Coming back to drugs. I love talking about drugs. Maybe it is because I'm an immigration attorney, and there's such a big difference between immigration law and how it sees certain drugs between and criminal defense and how the state sees certain drugs. And so it brings me to one of my favorite topics, which is marijuana. I love talking about marijuana. So tell me, what's up with marijuana in Florida? Have we legalized? Have we not?
We haven't legalized, but we've, I guess, strongly decriminalized.
Mm-hmm.
Miami for a few years now hasn't really been prosecuting low-level marijuana cases. If you get picked up for having a joint or like a little bag, as long as you had a clean record, even if they physically arrested you, you'd go to court and they'd do mm-hmm. this, what they were calling a 60-day reset. So, hey, it's weed, it's kind of criminal, but not as much as it used to be.
we got better things to do.
Right. Be a good boy or girl for about 60 days.
Oh,
come back to
get
court.
Rearrested.
Yeah, come back to court, and then the case would just get dismissed.
60-day reset. Okay, this
right.
is like a diet. Like, don't do nothing stupid.
Even Broward.
It's for 2 months.
75-day hard.
Yeah. 75 hard, yeah.
75 hard, that's what we're doing.
Even Broward, with their new brass, their new elected state attorney, they've kind of just not really
yeah,
prosecuted.
Yeah, because Broward used to be a little tougher.
That's what I used to hear.
Right. But you don't see marijuana cases really much anymore. I mean, a lot of the drug cases we're getting now are, you know, cocaine trafficking, meth trafficking. We've seen quite a bit of recently, ecstasy, like that variety. Mm-hmm. Even cocaine, believe it or not.
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
Miami was coke capital of the world.
So oddly
right?
enough.
For many years.
Oddly enough, when I leave here, I will go do a consultation for a cocaine trafficking case.
There you go.
But you're not seeing it as much as you used to.
Interesting.
Right?
Are we cleaning up our act, or?
I think we've
what?
Evolved.
Okay.
What
right?
is
evolved?
Is there a shortage in Colombia? Like, what do you mean? What is
on to new things? We're on to new things.
I don't know. I think you, from a severity standpoint, right, cocaine is kind of going the way of marijuana somewhat. It's more recreational. It's not as big a deal, I guess. I don't know. But you're definitely
going
more
into
other
things. Okay, what is like this?
Things.
How much are you... Because, you know, when you say trafficking to me, I think Pablo Escobar, a plane full of cocaine.
Depends on the drug.
Like, how much do you need to be...
Have you seen the high... Have you seen the sharks? The high sharks?
Have you seen this news
thing that's all over the news right now? So there's this whole thing going on about how scientists think that there are a certain amount of sharks that are high off the coastal waters of Florida. They're showing like erratic behavior.
Erratic,
and it's because they keep finding bricks of like cocaine and heroin in the ocean around Florida. I look this shit up. If you were listening to me, Google
only,
it.
Only Florida.
Legit scientific studies about this because there are erratic
the sharks are like
sharks yeah. from eating drugs. That
bumping
is,
into each other.
Like, I'm not making this up.
Or swimming
okay,
really
I'm,
fast.
I'm not yeah. making this up. The high sharks.
Olympic
sharks. They're erratically
yeah.
swimming. They're
or
on
the,
coke.
Or they do coke. They're just like 50% faster than they normally swim.
Anyways, I'm sorry.
No,
I digress.
So
go back
weights,
to coke.
Right? So the consult this afternoon,
yeah, yeah.
28 to 150 grams.
Oh, that's nothing.
But what is that?
That's a trafficking amount.
No,
that's
no, no. What does that look like?
A brick or two, maybe?
Is it this size of coke?
No.
No,
no,
a little
it's
more.
Like a brick or two.
I feel
maybe.
Like
grams
ever,
are small.
Haven't like, you ever held a brick of coke?
Yeah. So
I'm an estate planning lawyer.
Well,
my life is
like,
not this podcast.
It's taking a whole other turn.
I'm
so
glad we're doing a non-financial.
So Marenko, real quick, right? Just think of it this way. The less serious the substance, the greater the weight has to be. Right?
Yeah,
so
but
for,
marijuana
yeah,
is
so,
fluffy.
Exactly.
coke is dense.
Yeah. So for trafficking marijuana.
I watched Narco.
Yeah. For trafficking marijuana, it's 25 pounds or like 300 plants. And that'll get you a 3-year minimum mandatory.
Going
then
on.
Now when you're dealing,
it's federal.
No, it's state.
And there's
state,
minimum mandatories
at the
in state, too.
At the state level,
oh,
right?
Shit.
So we don't have the 3-year minimum mandatory. That's the floor
yeah.
for the trafficking amounts. Cocaine, the floor there is like a 7-year minimum mandatory. And then, you know, we recently handled a meth trafficking. That guy's min-man was 15 years. For,
wow.
you know, let's say about a dozen pounds of meth or so, right? There's
is
a slightly
liquid.
It's like crystal. It's like a
oh,
glass, like
that's
a
right.
solidified
yes.
substance.
I have some.
Like,
is it meth? Like,
yeah. you,
oh,
could,
yeah.
you could, you could,
you
could.
He said you could, you could. I mean,
for those
there's
you
a
want,
volume equivalent.
For those of you wondering, Breaking Bad, probably the best show ever on TV. Go watch it. You can learn all about meth there.
I never saw this show.
Oh, it's
I
a
need
great
to,
show.
I need
to
watch
it.
I need to.
It's excellent.
I need to. Okay, so it's in whatever, crystal form, and,
right.
and you can weigh that. And okay.
Correct.
Got it.
What's the craziest story you have about trafficking?
Oh, God. Yeah, I feel like
I don't prep. Know. You should have given me some more prep time on that one.
Sorry. Never mind. We don't want to talk about that. But I
maybe,
have a,
you know what? Maybe the meth one.
The one that we were just talking about.
The meth one. All our client was
allegedly
was a networker. He was a connector.
He was a high eye on the disc profile.
Oh man, but you know
well,
this
see,
is so true.
What does this mean? I don't know what
you mean. I mean,
we're going back
you
and
know,
talk about this.
It, like,
now you've engaged me. Go on.
Some cases might still be open. I don't want to talk about it too much.
Yeah.
But somebody was kind of not happy with the amount that they were getting locally, and he's like, I know a guy.
I know a new supplier you might want to talk to.
Right, it's like, yeah, I really want to meet this type of attorney. I think they would help my practice.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's all it was.
What we do every day.
Right, it was like a middlemaning.
Sure, middlemaning. I like that.
But apparently that's trafficking.
Interesting.
Is it?
No, and it was, he was actually talking to...
Did he gain a benefit from this? Was he paid a participation fee?
He gained a social benefit. Yeah. He made friends.
No, but the statute has any benefit?
I mean, it's
like fucking love and friendship? Like what?
Love and friendship.
No, it's trafficking.
Trafficking gay. He just said, oh, yeah, go talk to Fulanito.
No, well, there's more than just go talk to Fulanito.
All right,
but and then the crazy...
My sense of justice is offended right now. What do you mean?
It's somebody he used to work with,
yeah,
who was now working with law enforcement, and you know,
snitched.
Yeah. So
snitched.
Right, there's all these communications, right, and it's like, it's so Miami the way they're talking to each other. Like, it was a lot of, you know, at least listening to the audio was entertaining. And they actually, the bust happened at a truck stop in front of the Miccosukee.
The alleged defendant was there making the personal introduction while the sale might have also been happening.
He made the personal connection. And then kind of just accompanied.
Uh-huh. He came along for the ride.
Yeah, he came along for the ride.
So he was physically present at the moment when things were happening. Maybe.
Somewhat.
Maybe. Potentially.
Somewhat.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Somewhat.
Okay.
That was a crazy one.
Interesting. I had a client.
We had a reverse, like a reverse thing, right, where they're buying, right, the deal is to buy drugs from the snitch or from the confidential informant.
Isn't that
not
always
sell
the case?
Them. No, you can do it both ways.
No, you could buy or sell.
Capitalism at its finest.
Yeah, of course.
You can buy or sell.
Right, but
that, okay.
But see, that guy, that was just mere presence. Oh. Right? That guy came down with his uncle from Atlanta just to conocer a Miami. But when all the conversations were happening, he was never really present.
Okay.
So they got to an Arby's. He went to eat a beef and cheddar.
Arby's. His uncle went into the excursion. This is a classy operation.
His uncle went into the excursion to negotiate the deal.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Right? So anytime anything of substance was going on.
He was eating a beef and cheddar.
He was kind of like a curly fry.
Curly fries.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good
chocolate
motion. Man, they
stopped
making potato cakes. Those
are
my favorites. Really?
Okay. Yeah.
So he was never, he was just in presence in the Arby's.
He was in the car with
arrested?
The uncle.
He got arrested. Why?
Because he was there.
But what was the charge? Trafficking?
Trafficking cocaine.
That's bullshit.
So, well, eventually.
So trafficking is merely
eventually
a certain amount
bullshit.
More
yeah.
than a limit.
Wait. Right. I want to hear what happened to this guy.
We eventually
Tell
got,
me you got him off.
Yeah, we eventually got it dismissed.
Okay.
Right? Because once a discovery
That's
comes
bullshit,
in, then
yeah.
you can show, well, yeah, he came, he rode down with them. Sure, he was in the car when the bust occurred. Because after negotiating
the transfer
the thing,
already happened into the car.
Yeah, after negotiating the deal with the guy at the Arby's,
yeah.
they then drove to a second location.
Interesting.
Mere presence is a big defense in trafficking cases where multiple people get arrested at the same time. It was really common in grow house cases. But you
Correct.
Don't see grow house cases anymore because weed's almost legal. There's dispensaries.
Oh.
I honestly
no
gotta,
more Coral Gables mansions growing weed.
I feel like I jumped up with a
grow house
case last week.
I have to admit... I've been proven wrong. Because
I thought
when marijuana became more legalized and dispensaries required licenses and all this stuff, I was certain that people in the state, primarily in our town, would find a way to continue doing it, to circumvent or sidestep like the red tape that the government
that's
was
the
required.
Miami way.
That's the
license.
Miami way.
Why we need a license?
Yeah,
I would think that's
yes, it. I can resolver.
Which
I is
what
I thought.
Yeah, I'm resolving.
But you know what? It hasn't really materialized.
Really?
I really thought.
People are compliant with the regulations.
Yeah, I was on the wrong side of that prediction, right? Some of my colleagues thought, like, well, marijuana trafficking is kind of dead. And then I also thought, I don't know. Like, I kind of know my people here. And they're going to be enterprising as ever, and they're going to find a way to avoid it.
It's
it's a very entrepreneurial city. I mean, we were built on Coke money, right? I mean, let's be real. That's the history of Miami.
Supposedly, so. Allegedly. Maybe, I don't know.
No, there was like some study at some point that certain percentage of our $100 bills had residue of cocaine on them. So I remember this
thing on the news. And that there's no reason to have a Federal Reserve sitting in Doral when there was no industry here for 40 years. Really?
True story. Right. But, so I have a question for you. So let's say, hypothetically,
Okay.
We're sitting in a group of friends, and someone pulls out.
And I'm going to Arby's.
A lot of drugs. Whatever fucking drugs you want.
Go to Arby's. Get out of there and go to Arby's.
And I decide to share because I'm a high eye on the display.
She loves to connect.
And I like connecting. I'm a networker. And we all decide to share around a table of 10 people. I haven't sold you drugs. I didn't.
You gifted me the
cocaine. I didn't cultivate them. I'm not trying to sell you. I'm not trying to buy. I'm just sharing. I'm distributing, technically, right?
Possession with intent to distribute.
I'm still fucked.
So there's no min-man for possession with intent.
Okay.
Right? That's reserved for the trafficking.
Okay.
Generally.
But what if she had a brick? Now she's trafficking, giving it to
if
the rest
she's
of the
world. Just sharing samples.
I'm sharing.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
Love and affection. Like
yes,
you
love and affection.
Look. If you came to my office and that was your case,
right?
Let's say you were charged with trafficking. I'm hoping to get you down to possession with intent. Ideally, maybe just simple possession.
Nice. Okay.
Right, because you weren't really trafficking.
I was just being a good guy.
You were sharing.
I was sharing.
Right, and if you were
unless
charged,
unless we'll sign an affidavit and testify at trial that Alina's just
and
a very
were,
generous
this
person.
Is who I am.
And if you were charged with possession with intent. Let's go for simple possession.
Coño!
Like the brick's like on the table. You're getting a piece. You're getting a piece. I mean,
it was just it's
so
like
there's
bring
no,
a bottle
there's
of
no,
wine
there's
to the party.
No,
everybody
like money, financial benefit. You can show there's no financial purpose.
Chances are that's may start as a trafficking.
Sure,
but again, there's context.
But then
right?
You hire a scaredo.
I can't promise,
Nobody says
what's
that promising?
Disclaimer? Past results don't guarantee future or whatever.
Of course.
But right, so if they kick the door in, if they kick the door in and it's a party, that's one thing. If you're a known trafficker, and they kick the door in and they kind of
how
caught
do you establish
sharing,
that I am a known trafficker?
Oh.
What do you mean? You've been in the database in Miami-Dade County for like 20 years?
Okay. I have a problem.
Everybody
with that,
knows
right? Because
importance.
Everyone's in the fucking database. Okay, this is like telling me that one of my clients is in the gang database. Like, get the fuck out of here. If you're from Central America, you're on the fucking gang database. Okay, like that's. Bullshit. That is bullshit. Yeah. That is how the cops work in this world, at least in my world, okay? If you are Hondureño, Salvadoreño, Guatemalteco, I mean, you are on the gang database. You look like a gang member to the police.
Yes.
And that's it. So that's bullshit. I don't buy that for a fucking second. Okay?
Well, and Chiva establishes that you're a known trafficker.
I see.
Right?
You know, I did an FBI check on myself once. Have you ever done an FBI check on yourself?
No.
You should fucking do this.
Oh, God.
How do you do an FBI check
you
on
fingerprint.
Yourself?
I do it in my office all the time for clients to get their background and shit. And so you can fingerprint yourself and then send out FOIAs to see what's in your file.
I would be horrified. I'd be fucking horrified.
I don't know that I want that.
I don't think so.
It's fascinating. I highly recommend to anybody listening. Anyways, I digress.
Wow.
Yikes.
I would be very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
About what the government has on me. Like, what are they...
Exactly.
Yeah. Why? Why do they know this?
Like,
I haven't done anything, but
exactly.
But don't you want to know?
I think I'd be horrified.
So you'd rather live
than
just
die? I think I'd be
more...
I'd become like one of these conspiracy theorists off the grid or something.
You
got
high papers in your bathroom? Is
like, people will
do?
Accuse me of being a Republican.
You
got
high legal documents in your restrooms? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, my God. That sounds awful.
Oh, man. I love it. Well, okay, so I mentioned the papers in the bathroom. So we got to talk about Trump, right? You can't leave without talking about
Trump.
We had
two segues there. We had two puking radio segues there. We had the Republican reference and the papers in the bathroom.
But what is the papers in the bathroom?
Oh, Leslie.
Oh, my God. The papers were being flushed.
It doesn't have K2 on it.
No.
You got to tell Leslie the news because she lives in this bubble that is called.
You remember, I work too many hours, 7
yes.
days a week.
Yes.
So why are the
I
papers?
Heard Trump got arrested, but
kind of.
I mean, he turned himself in. He didn't even
multiple
get arrested,
times.
Right?
Well, he did. That's being arrested.
Oh, well.
He self-surrendered.
You still
got
arrested whether you take yourself or they take
you. Yeah, but I'm
yeah, you bond out.
Yeah, he bonded out. I mean, what was this, a two-hour problem for him?
I mean, it was great news.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Publicity is what it is.
You heard of innocent until proven guilty?
Yes, of course.
People everyone. Get pre-trial
releases. The cornerstone of our justice system. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like you got, in my mind, arrested. It's like somebody came and fucking got you, bro.
You
like,
wrong.
I tell my clients this every fucking day. When they get a citation to go to court, like, I ain't arrested. That's an arrest, bitch. Like, that's an arrest.
Yep.
Anyways. Coming back to Trump.
So he's been arrested.
Okay, so in Florida, in the Southern District of Florida, he was charged in the classified documents.
To clarify for Leslie, he's been arrested multiple times now in multiple states.
Right.
But let's talk about Florida.
So in Florida, he was arrested for like classified
documents. For different things.
Yes, yes. Obstruction of justice, because he had all these classified documents and he
allegedly
couldn't have in his possession. Right, and I think some of them were found in a bathroom at Mar-a-Lago.
No, the pictures are epic. You got to Google this. There's like stacks of documents inside bathrooms of Mar-a-Lago.
Papers were flushed, allegedly.
What do these papers have on them?
Some Mar-a-Lago employee is now also...
The conspiracy
has also been
like,
invited.
What is he flushing?
Nuclear secrets. Like, all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Okay,
right?
Allegedly.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So he's charged with obstruction of justice, possession of classified materials, all this.
Why does it sound a little too much like the Hillary emails? Like, is this for real? Like, why don't you have the emails on your fucking phone or whatever bullshit?
And we were very concerned about the emails.
We were all very concerned about the emails.
The federal indictment is real.
But I mean, like, he had documents like these.
Documents.
I am no lover of Donald Trump, for the record.
Right.
But I'm a little... What? I mean, this is all sounding a little Hillary email-ish. Go for it.
No, these are classified documents.
Okay.
Nuclear codes.
Nuclear codes.
You decided he wanted
secrets,
a copy
yeah.
of. Just in case.
Even though he was no longer president.
I know. What do you want them for? But
wait,
right,
well,
I
it depends. It depends what post.
He's a hoarder.
here's where
this
I...
This data gathering.
Look, here would be my... I would have difficulty defending him or somebody like him because I was about to say, depending on what press conference, what Truth Social message, what tweet that day...
This clown told everybody he had them.
Hold on. Right, here's the problem. Like, I declassified them because I could do that as president.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't really have them. But they were planted by the FBI.
I mean, all those things could potentially be true.
Whoa.
I mean, maybe he should have put...
Well, you can't declassify something that you don't have.
Hold on. They cannot all be true at the same time.
I didn't have them. If I did...
I declassified them. And if I didn't get to or have the ability, then they were planted.
What is the famous Bill Clinton line? Like, I did not have sex with that woman.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, comma, Miss Lewinsky.
And I quote. You were like two when that happened.
I know, I was about to say, we just threw back on our age.
Yes.
We're
younger than me.
We just like lost half our audience for the record. Like, we old. Anyways, but he's indicted in other states for other things, right?
He is. He's indicted in Washington, D.C. with basically inciting the insurrection, the January 6th thing.
Okay.
He was in...
There's plenty of tweets to show that too, I guess.
he
since he loves to tweet against himself.
I'm going to break your heart. I'm not a lover of Donald Trump. and then he was indicted in Georgia. At the state level, on RICO, racketeering, organized crime type charges for trying to like fix the election, right? Find me those votes.
Are there any more?
I don't think so. No. Right? There's something out of New York for hush money and taxes.
I
don't know much about that.
No more strippers.
Strippers are not illegal.
They weren't strippers. They were hookers.
There's nothing illegal about strippers.
She was an adult actress.
Also not illegal.
Kelly,
there's no issue. The president can have sex with porn stars.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nothing illegal.
That's
about
what
that.
I'm saying. But
I have no problem with
this. Illegal.
I have no problem with
this.
I have no problem with
this. When you allegedly
like,
pay hush money
issue, like,
through
the,
your campaign.
The crime was in the cover up, my friend.
Yes.
Don't we all know that?
Isn't it always?
Only if he lies under oath. Otherwise, it's not really illegal to cover up either. I don't tell everyone I had sex with porn stars. What the fuck?
It was allegedly paid through the campaign. Like, there's something.
Yeah, that's a whole.
I'm kind of shooting off the cuff a little bit here with the Donald Trump stuff because it's just you're so overwhelmed with it and you don't know
true.
Is it a political hit, is it justified, right? It's hard to kind of make sense of it all. I think the Washington D.C. the inciting the insurrection,
you stole my next question,
is probably the weakest.
Interesting.
From just kind of looking at it from afar, because Right, it's like a disorderly intox or disorderly conduct. Like, how are you really going to prove that that this guy's words caused what ultimately
these other whack
happened.
Jobs to go do what they were
now,
doing?
Now, listen, if some of those people have sat down and cooperated and have made
statements. They didn't meet at his office and say, we're all going to meet wherever,
Right, assuming none of these like people haven't turned or flipped, or maybe his chief of staff, somebody provided an email, a text, pictures of a meeting he was leading, it's going to be pretty hard to prove, I think, beyond a reasonable doubt, he incited that.
Yes.
Right? Now, the 47 bankers' boxes in your little Palm Beach, you know.
That you were flushing in the bathroom? Like, what?
That one gets a little tricky, and because you have two people that were kind of allegedly to discard and destroy.
So in your opinion,
they've now been indicted. I'm assuming eventually.
So do you think
they will cooperate?
Do you think the Florida case is the strongest one so far?
Sounds like that's what
it seems like it, because they have the co-defendants now.
And everybody turns, these snitches. No,
I mean, look, and I don't know much about Georgia, but you have phone calls on record.
Yeah,
and he was dealing with high-ranking party and elected officials in Georgia.
Yeah.
So the Georgia one might prove to be pretty strong, too.
Knows, right?
It seems like the documents one.
But what is he accused of in Georgia?
The RICO one. Racketeering, organized crime.
To fix the election. But I mean, I need you to find me X number of votes. Right. And
on the perfect phone call. It was a perfect phone call.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, that's what he says, yeah.
Okay. Anyways, so when we talk about indictment, for anyone who doesn't know, what does that mean? What is indictment?
Since apparently Leslie doesn't know what arrest means, you might want to clarify.
Yeah, what's the differentiation there?
An indictment is a formal charge.
Okay.
And an indictment comes from a grand jury.
Right.
So a prosecutor takes a bunch of evidence in front of a panel of people known as a grand jury, and it could happen at the state level, although it's less common than at the federal level. And they present a case.
And it's private, right?
It's private. Yeah. There's no defense attorney.
So you're done.
There's none of that, right?
You're
the prosecutors.
You don't even know this is happening half the time.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Okay, all right.
But the prosecutor's presenting a case, presenting evidence, presenting witnesses, presenting affidavits, and then the jury decides, we find that there's evidence to charge the defendant with this
and
this.
And what is the standard there?
There's an old saying that you can indict a ham sandwich.
Okay.
Remember, it's not checked.
But the official standard is preponderance
reasonable
more likely
doubt.
Than
a
no.
A good faith basis that they can get a conviction.
Okay.
Right? Okay. But there's no defense attorney. There's nobody there to check their evidence,
yeah,
to
no,
cross-examine
this is,
a
this
witness.
This is a free-for-all. Right, right. This is a free-for-all.
You can indict a ham sandwich. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's easy.
Definitely.
Right? So that's what an indictment is. Sometimes in federal cases, you can agree to be charged by information.
Right.
Which is like, we got you. We can get you on so much more, but if you play nice... We'll limit it to just one charge and, like, on this piece of paper.
So,
we won't go to grand jury.
So they indict you, and then what? They show up at your house like, surprise! You have a right to remain silent,
so,
and everything you say can't move you.
Yeah, so
you,
if you're, you know, if you're just a regular person,
yeah,
there's a very good chance they will, usually indictments have multiple people on them.
Yeah.
They will kind of go in unison. Right at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Can't be notifying the other.
Right
at four in the morning.
Oh, they
well,
love.
Well, that's how you're home. You're
they
home,
love
right?
4 or 5 a.m.
Exactly.
Like raids. The feds love that. So
when people be sleeping.
So 4 or 5 a.m. Right,
that's
they
awful.
Descend upon right the mean streets of Westchester to arrest
the mean streets of Westchester.
Yeah, to arrest the 10 people charged with Medicare fraud.
Alex Rodriguez said that was the hood. Okay,
that's Kendall. That's Kendall. Come on, let's not misrepresent. So. Right, they descend on these people, right, knock on the door, boom, 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 hey, here's a warrant, you're being arrested, they take you to FDC downtown, you're processed, that afternoon you'll have your initial appearance in court. You can also, if you are Donald Trump, and
they
certain,
call your lawyer,
a certain level of
come Thursday
person,
up.
Right, it's like, hey, grand jury came back with an indictment, do you want to self-surrender, make it easier on your client, there's no... I'm kicking the door down while you're sleeping in your underwear at 4 a.m. kind of stuff going on. And you can self-surrender. That is an option.
Right.
Put on some makeup for the...
For the mugshot.
Yeah.
The perp walk.
Don't look ratchet. That's just going to be on the internet.
So an indictment's a fancy way of saying a formal criminal charge.
Okay. All right. But so, okay, so you can waive all that, right? Like, if you're Donald Trump, you're not going to go get Mirandized and shit at your house. But
right.
Normal people would be, right?
So, right, you can actually be contacted by law enforcement before you're even charged, right? They're still investigating,
mm-hmm.
and they want to talk. They want to get your side of the story.
No.
They want to ask you some
questions.
Yeah,
they're good
people.
Right?
They're here
to
help.
Yeah. Or they could...
They're actors. Like, what the fuck? I'm the government, and I'm here to help.
Yeah. Or they can actually... You can have been indicted. You're arrested, right? Or at the state level, there's probable cause. They arrest you. And then they can try to interrogate you post-arrest.
Right.
So either way there, I think I know where you're going.
Uh-huh.
Either way there, they have to read you your Miranda rights.
Which everyone should know at this point. I mean, it's like part of every Law & Order episode.
Come on.
Right. Which the funny thing is, a lot of people think, oh, they didn't read me my rights. My case is getting thrown out. That's not actually how it works. They only have to read you your rights if you're in custody and they're asking you questions.
If you blurt out stupid shit in the back of the vehicle.
That's a spontaneous statement.
A spontaneous
which
statement.
There's no Miranda warning or protections for it. Right.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah, so,
very good. Everybody
needs
to keep their mouth shut.
Right. And especially somebody who doesn't know as much about the criminal justice system. Like
every
Leslie
time I
here,
watch one of these episodes of Law
yeah.
and Order, I get so pissed.
Yes.
Everybody just confesses. And I'm like, this can't happen in real life. And then I have conversations with Jenny.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this shit happens in real life. Like, people go to the police,
well,
their problems.
Well,
I'm like, why?
Here's what happens, right?
This all, why?
Somebody gets arrested, they feel like they're innocent. And they want to clear their name.
Just
they want
like
to
they
their want to
blow.
The well, because they don't know, right? Like, I know what's going to happen. Probable cause is going to be formed if it hasn't already been. And you're
yeah,
going to
yeah,
go to
yeah.
jail regardless.
The deck is stacked against
sometimes
you,
sometimes people
friend.
There are like, they try to talk their way out of it. They're like, I have nothing to hide. I'm gonna say my story and I'm gonna go home. The other thing is why you should always invoke and remain silent. It's in the Constitution. It's a pretty big fucking deal. Use the goddamn thing and don't talk,
yes.
right? Because here's the thing. They can lie to you during the damn interrogation.
Yeah.
So you can be 100% innocent. You're like, I didn't do that. That's crap. They're lying. I don't know what they're saying. And then they'll say something like, oh yeah? Why have this file here that has your DNA on it? Right? And then you're like,
Leslie said you pulled out the drug at that party.
Right? And then now it's like, well, okay, but no, like there shouldn't be DNA because what really happened, and then now you're done. Because they can lie to you. They can legally lie to you, right? If I'm talking to a prosecutor on someone's behalf that's under investigation or whatnot, the prosecutor can't lie. Right, we're attorneys, we have certain standards and ethics and codes and all this cool stuff.
Oh, interesting.
No, they can
I
say
I thought they're still gonna lie to your face too.
No, they
shit.
Can they can say like, shut look, me. I can't really discuss that at this time
oh.
or I can't I'm not really gonna answer but they can kind of but you
skirt around.
Yeah, but I do
you're
this for a living.
Me,
I
right?
kinda know I can see the writing on the wall, I can
yes.
read between
yeah,
the lines,
yeah,
whatever
yeah,
cliche,
yeah.
right? Like, you know, John the detective could say whatever. And then here's the other thing. Sometimes
your mama said.
Like, I could be answering.
Definitely your baby mama said.
I could be answering.
The baby mama always says.
Always.
The baby mamas are the worst.
The neighbor and the baby mama, man. They're responsible for more.
They're
responsible for more convictions than anybody on the face of the earth. No, here's the thing, too. Like you could be telling the truth 100%. You're just not answering the question that they want you to answer, right? The example we give our clients all the time, what color is the sky? The answer, right, commonly is, it's blue. But what if they're
the
asking-
The answer is, call my fucking attorney and answer your question,
right,
bitch.
Right, but they're asking you about something that happened at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no fucking way the sky's blue. You think you're answering innocently and correctly. This person's like, yep. He lied.
The sky was dark.
That's why. It kind of depends on the question. So you should never answer because they're not showing you all their cards. They're lying to you. They're allowed to lie to you. The answer is, call my attorney.
Yes.
And you call your attorney at the beginning.
Not when shit
you
goes
don't sideways. Do it halfway through. You don't do it when you're uncomfortable after 47 minutes in that little room freezing your ass off.
You see these Netflix documentaries?
Oh,
16 no. hours
yes.
later.
That's
yeah.
what they do.
When they're like crying on the table. Like, yeah,
you're
I didn't know best to be the uniform. I killed her.
Listen, do you know how how much time? Do you know how much time we've wasted reviewing body camera or surveillance in the interrogation room?
Oh, man.
Where our client is just falling asleep, asking for a cup of water, and then right when he's like,
"I can't." If I practice the law, I lose sleep at night.
Yeah,
I can't.
And they come in. Hey, so listen, let's talk.
Like, don't you want to go home?
And then they'll read on the Miranda, and then they'll mess it up too, right? Because they'll editorialize it. They're like, "Oh, read this out loud and initial if you understand what it says." So they're like, "I have the right to remain silent." Blah blah blah. Initially, you understand what that is? I do. And then the detective will. So what that means is we're gonna have a conversation, and at any point, no, like that's wrong. It's we only get to have a conversation if you decide you want to have a conversation. So they editorialize the shit, I think, to get you to talk too. But that's fine, because now they're giving us fodder to get the statements thrown out.
I used to tell my clients all the time, there's only two questions you should be asking if someone takes you away. And this is true, I think, for criminal or immigration or anything else. It's number one, am I actually under arrest, right? Because if I ain't, I ain't going with you. Bye. And number two, if I am under arrest, how can I call my attorney right now? That's it. Only two questions.
Yeah.
Only two conversations ever you need to have. So. Any final thoughts for our listening audience? And
wow.
There's been a lot today. We've learned a lot. Yeah, I've learned a lot.
No, this was fun. Thank you
both. I thought they gave breathalyzers on the side of the road. Like, to everybody.
No. Now they have these souped up Ford Explorers with built-in breathalyzers.
Oh.
But they're not really giving them to you, like, on the side of the road. You'll do it, like, at a Dompang parking lot.
Oh, Dompang.
You're classy. Yeah. You're classy, Miami-Dade.
Stay
classy,
Miami. A sunny place for shady people.
Look, closing thoughts, don't give the government any evidence that they can possibly use against you.
That's right.
Field sobriety, breathalyzers, statements, confessions, shut your mouth, ask for your lawyer, go on your way. I promise you it's not going to change the fact that you're getting arrested.
The end. Chop the cow. Don't say shit. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming today, Danny. Thank you for coming and for everyone listening. Tune in next time for the next Law Shit You Should Know podcast. Take care.